This is Jennifer.
And this is Paige. And this is Big Book Energy.
So this week, we are doing our August bonus episode, which is another Movie Magic episode. So if you guys have been listening, you'll know that our Movie Magic episodes are us comparing a book with a movie adaptation. So last month, that was The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. Which turned out to be a very pleasant experience for both the book and the movie. Like, overall, that was a good time. This month, we have not been having such a good time.
The exact opposite of a good time, actually.
The opposite of a good time. It was a bad time.
It was a bad time.
Loving
the time of cholera was a bad time.
Yeah, so, yes. Thank you, Paige. This episode is on Love in the Time of Cholera, a kind of, like, modern classic, I feel like, you know? Mm. So, let me briefly summarize this book. Love in the Time... Oh, spoiler warning is now in effect.
Yeah. We're getting into it now.
So, if you don't want this story ruined for you, don't just skip to the discussion. Although we still talk about the story in the discussion. So I'm like, why are you listening to this show at that point? I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to get into summary. Love in the Time of Cholera centers around the story of Florentino Arisa and Fermina Daza. And the two protagonists fall in love when they are very young, like teenagers. After Florentino delivers a telegram to Fermina's father at their home, or at least I should say that Florentino falls in love right away. Fermina is like another story altogether. Florentino writes to Fermina, and after some hesitation, she decides to engage in this kind of like epistolary love affair, meaning that, you know, they're writing like tons of love letters back and forth to each other. And eventually this becomes like a secretly acknowledged engagement. They plan on getting married after, you know, courting in this way for like 2 years, even though I think that was after like already like a year of like interaction. However, when this engagement comes to the attention of Fermina's father, Lorenzo, he is quick to put an end to it. He decides to whisk Fermina away to visit her family for a year because he has like these grand designs that his beautiful daughter will like marry well and become like a great lady in the city and that sort of thing. And, you know, Florentino is not from like a wealthy, prestigious background. So Lorenzo's just like absolutely not. Eventually, after a year, Lorenzo and Fermina will return. However, like immediately, they've been messaging each other through the telegram, or the telegraph, I should say. They've been telegramming each other, whatever, this entire year because Florentino was able to learn where she was, and he worked in the telegraph office in their city. So he was able to send her messages that way. So they've been talking this whole time. However, upon returning, Fermina sees him for the first time and has this realization that she does not actually love him.
Which is fucking brutal.
This is brutal. She is cold-blooded. She really is. So she realizes that they're... long like love affair has been nothing more than like quote like illusion, and she breaks things off with him right away upon seeing him. So he's understandably heartbroken.
I mean, if a girl takes one look at you in the middle of a shopping center and is like, nah.
No. Like, yeah.
That's gotta be soul crushing.
Yeah.
This is the start to a great love story, guys.
Oh, right. That's what I would think, too. So shortly afterwards, Fermina gets sick and is visited by the distinguished and wealthy Dr. Juvenal Urbino. Fermina is not thrilled with his pursuit of her either, because he begins courting her shortly after that visit, which the description of that visit is very strange.
Yes.
But she succumbs to her father's wishes and also kind of the convincing of like her cousin as well, and agrees to marry Urbino. They immediately head out to a honeymoon in Europe, and they don't return for 2 years, at which point she is pregnant with their son. While their marriage like seems to start out well, it sours quickly once they return, because she and her mother-in-law do not get along like at all. Her mother-in-law is like a huge bitch. And
next level
just bitch. Like next level horrible. And Juvenal does not stand up to his mother either, so she basically like despises him as well for not like being more of a man, you know, kind of deal. Yeah. Luckily she does love her son, although yes. not right away
because she's a stone cold bitch.
She's just a very cold person.
Yeah.
So she does eventually find fulfillment in her children, and eventually she is the mistress of her own household. And once that happens, her and Urbino settle into like a relatively tranquil marriage. You know, with like ups and downs, but they do, you know, they form like a partnership is mm-hmm. really what I would say. It's definitely not like a passionate love or anything like that, they definitely seem to be partners that more or less understand each other, especially by the time they reach like old age, which is actually where the story begins, and then it does like some time hopping. So they have a relatively happy marriage once she's able to have her own household. The only real like hiccup that they experience, I mean, there's several, but the major one,
yeah,
is when she discovers that Urbino has started an affair with one of his patients, Barbara Lynch, and she's pissed about this, but it would be kind of hard to tell by how she talks about it.
She keeps it close to her chest.
She does, but she eventually reveals to him that she knows, and he breaks it off immediately, even though he has developed like quite an emotional attachment to this woman, in a way that like is never described between Fermina and himself. And as punishment for having an affair, she basically leaves for like 2 years or something like that. It's a really long time. She goes and stays with her family again, and eventually he comes to like fetch her, and they work things out. I think they like go off to Europe again, because they do that several times whenever things are bad.
Shit's bad. Let's go parade around Europe for a little while.
Yeah, we'll just like vacation in Europe. And so after that, things once again seem to relatively settle down, and they get into this kind of rhythm of aging together, essentially. And that's when we get to the events from the beginning of the book, where one day this parrot that they own escapes into a mango tree in their yard, and the good doctor is trying to fetch this parrot out of the tree. He's up on a very tall ladder, and for whatever reason gets like startled. I can't remember if it's like the parrot that does it or like a noise behind him or something.
I don't remember.
Startles him, and he falls off the ladder and dies. Which is like the beginning of this book. I mean, it's actually not even the beginning of this book. The beginning of this book doesn't make sense to me why it's even in the book.
Oh, God.
But I don't even feel the need to bring that up more.
No, no.
But yeah, the first major event, it didn't. And I don't know if it was just like foreshadowing like love between elderly people, because that's what, I don't know. I'm not really sure. So anyway, this is like the first major event, is that Juvenal Urbino falls off this ladder and dies.
Which is the dumbest thing.
It is. At which point, Florentino decides to make his move. So let's talk about what Florentino has been doing for the past 50 years. Because it is 50 years, I believe, at this point.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, and I, if it's not 50, because I think it might have been 50 since Florentino met Fermina, it's like late 40-something years, you know, that they've been married. It's a very long time. So what has Florentino been up to? Well, he's been busy. He's been very busy. So he's heartbroken after Fermina breaks off their engagement, and then quickly afterwards gets married. Then she's gone for 2 years, and she comes back and she's pregnant. So, like, clearly this is like a solid marriage, right? Mm-hmm. He's basically waiting for Juvenal Urbino to die, and then he's gonna try and you know, marry Fermina again at that point. So he's, you know, heartbroken, loses the will to live a little bit. He gets like very ill all the time, but eventually he is going to leave the telegraph office and start working for his uncle, Leo III, at the, was it Royal? Oh man, let me look at this really quick. I can't remember. It's the RCC is what it's abbreviated as, but I
think like Leo the 12th or something like that.
I thought it was the 3rd, but maybe it's the 12th. I don't, we're going to call him Leo, so it doesn't.
It's Leo. Yeah, Leo the something.
It doesn't. Ooh, yes, okay. River Company of the Caribbean. I wanted to say River Cruise of the Caribbean, but that really, I knew that wasn't right. So, he starts working for his uncle Leo, who has children, but they're like uninterested or not capable of like taking over the business. So eventually Leo will see Florentino as like the heir to this business. And in that way, Florentino becomes like a successful, wealthy businessman. Yeah. However, the entire time that he is supposedly like waiting for Fermina, his true love, he is racking up a lot of notches on his bedpost. I mean, he's sleeping with a lot of people.
Yeah.
This begins with his mother's attempt to try and get him to forget Fermina. She kind of sets him up with a widow that she knows. And, you know, he just takes it from there and just keeps going. And he is really classy, keeps it all in a notebook to document his conquests. We love that, don't we?
It's best.
Really love that.
What a dick.
And he gets up to, I think it's like 622.
Yeah.
In this notebook. And most of them were like long-term affairs. Like, these aren't like one-night stands. Like, a lot of them are like months or years that he will regularly visit these women. But he believes that in his heart, he's always been faithful to Fermina, which... No.
Just no.
I'm sorry, just no. I mean, if you want to try and make the argument for some sort of, like, spiritual fidelity... he loves some of these women, and he acknowledges that as well. So even in that way, I think he hasn't been what you could consider faithful.
No.
But he is also very careful that word of these trysts will never reach Fermina. So essentially lying to her. Mm-hmm. Presumably, eventually he will lie about how he's been faithful to her all these years, and she'll have no idea that he's slept with literally hundreds of other women.
Literally.
So we love to see that too.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. So a few of the notable affairs. I mentioned the first one with a widow. I guess that's just kind of notable in that that was the first one. I don't know. Or maybe it was the second one. I think
it was his second encounter, because he had the one on the riverboat where some woman literally pulls him into a room, bangs him. He has no idea who it is. Him. And then shoves. Yeah, she rapes him and then shoves him back out. He has no idea who it was. He has a guess, but he actually doesn't know the woman who did that. And then is, like, okay with it?
Yeah.
Which, that's another recurring theme that we need to address, is that several characters in this book get raped.
And are okay with it.
And are okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
But we can talk more about that later.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, so there's the widow, which comes after the woman on the riverboat. There's a woman that he meets while he is at... I mean, basically, like, this whole time, he basically, like, goes to all these different events, hoping that he'll see Fermina, because, like, Urbino is, like, this huge patron of the arts within the city, and so they like, present at a lot of these events, and so Florentino kind of, like, runs around going to all these different things, hoping that he can just, like, watch her from afar, or perhaps, like, run into her, like, whatever. So he goes to, like, the presentation of, like, you know, poet of the year, like, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's for winning a prize for poetry, and, like, the prize is, like, this golden orchid, whatever.
Yeah.
And he meets a woman there whose name is escaping me.
Sarah something or other, I think.
Yeah, Sarah, yeah. And the only thing really notable there, I mean, that is another one of the long-term affairs that he has. But eventually she will, like, insult Fermina as being, like, a whore because she married a man that she didn't love, and Florentino does not like that, and that kind of, like, is the beginning of the end of that one there. But she was also the one who, like, needed a pacifier while they were having sex.
Yeah.
Which was just a weird detail. I didn't understand.
Could have done without that.
Yeah, I could have done without that. That was a weird detail. Then let's see. Oh yeah, then there's the woman who he essentially gets killed, Olympia, because he, like, after, like, one of their, like, meetings, he, like, takes some, was it paint?
It was paint.
It was paint. He takes some paint and, like, paints on her, like, you know, abdomen or whatever. I don't really want to say what he put on there.
Let's go with the movie version where it was an arrow pointing to her crotch and said, "This is mine."
Yeah.
It's more explicit in the book. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it's more explicit in the book. But he paints, like, "This is mine" on her, whatever. And she, like, forgets that that's on there and then undresses in front of her husband. And then he just, like, slits her throat, like, right then and there. Mm-hmm. And Florentino, like, brings flowers to her grave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, okay, you're the reason. I mean, like, obviously her husband is, like, the ultimate reason why she's dead, right?
Totally,
but, like, his, you know, like, his actions, like, had, like, huge, huge consequences for her personally that he just, like, never, like, owns up to, really. So there's that one. And then the most disturbing one, which surprisingly that's not the most disturbing one. And this is the last or one of the last affairs that he has up until the death of Urbino, because he's still carrying on several affairs at that time when Fermina's husband dies, even though he's, like, 76 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this one is the most disturbing. He is guardian for a distant relative, America Vicuña, who comes to stay with him so that she can go to school. And I think eventually she like goes to college. She wants to become a teacher. But when she first arrives, she is 14 years old. And at which point Florentino is like, you're going to be a beautiful woman, even though you're still a child. I'm going to groom you. So we're going to have a sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He grooms her in like classic pedophile way, takes her for ice cream, gains her trust. Their actual sexual acts when she's that young are games.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's described in the book is like really horrifying and disgusting. Even though like how it's written, it's just like very matter of fact, like
yeah,
that's what he did. I found it to be horrifying and disgusting. So yeah, he grooms her and they proceed to have a relationship for 3 years. She's 17 at the time that Urbino dies. And once Florentino realizes that Fermina is now available, like her husband is not even in the ground yet. He immediately cuts things off with America. Who, because of the abuse that she's endured, has developed an emotional attachment to Florentino and is very upset over this. And he refuses to have a real discussion with her about what happened. He also refuses to take responsibility, even though it's mentioned in the book that he knows that he's at fault for that. Mm-hmm. And she ends up killing herself.
Yeah.
And that's his fucking fault.
That is his fault.
Yeah.
Pedophilia and borderline incest right there.
Yes. And after that, he just gets to sail off into the sunset with Fermina. Because after a year or so of courting her again in their old age, she more or less accepts his companionship and they have go on this river trip and then they basically decide that they're just not going to go back.
Yeah, they're just going to cruise the river for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their lives, yeah. Which could be interpreted as literal or could also be symbolic.
Yeah.
Of just like spending time together for the rest of their lives. But, yeah. So I kind of revealed the ending there. You know, Florentino spends a great deal of time and effort trying to get Fermina to love him again. And it's interesting because it, you know, they do seem, you know, the relationship that they have at the end of the story is definitely more of a real relationship than the one that they had at the beginning. They like know about each other now. They understand one another. They have kind of like that camaraderie of like growing old together and, you know, that sort of thing. It's still not clear to me how Fermina feels about any of this. But yeah, they essentially have a happy ending. And that's the end of the book.
Yep.
That's the end. I have a lot of thoughts about this.
So do I.
But this is a summary, so...
So instead...
Let's head on over to Paige Presents Fun with Comics before we get into our discussion.
Let's do that before we rip this book apart.
If you enjoyed this episode or have been enjoying the podcast in general, please do consider leaving us a review. If you want to keep up with all of the latest BBE news, you can always follow us on social media. We have a Twitter and an Instagram, both of them at big_book_energy. We also have a website, bigbookenergy.com. So those show notes that I always kind of like reference in the episodes, that's where you can find those theoretically when I get to them, which... you know, we're working on that.
You were catching up. I was looking at him. You were catching up. I am.
I'm getting there. But yeah, you can visit bigbookenergy.com to find our show notes. If you would like to support the podcast, by purchasing any of the books that we mention in any of the episodes, you can now head over to our bookshop store. And you can support us while also support small independent booksellers, which is awesome. We actually had our first bookshop sale last week, which was so cool. So like I said, if you are interested in any of the books featured in our episodes, that is where you can find them. And that link is going to be bookshop.org/shop/bigbookenergy.
And we also have a Patreon account, so if you are not one of our book ninjas, which is our higher tier, you will only be getting a shorter version of this episode. If you are one of our book ninjas, you will get the full rage-fueled episode this go-around, and you will also have access to our previous episodes. We did do a series on Tolkien last season, movie magic last time, like we said, was Henrietta, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. So, if you are interested in checking out those full versions, head on over to patreon.com/bigbookenergy and sign up to be a book ninja.
Alright, well that's about it for today. Next time we are going to be talking about...
Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin, which is one of my favorite books. And I am excited about it, especially after this one, so...
Yeah, it's a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Something you like, some, you know.
Yes. Some great gender examination and a great author in the science fiction genre. So be excited for that. It's really great.
All right, guys. Well, until next time. Bye.
Bye.
What are they doing?
Russ, what are you doing? He fell in a box.
He fell in a box or he crawled
fell
in
a box?
Oh.
He was standing we'll on it and it there. Like and then he was trying to get out.
Just leave him in there. He's stuck now.
Yeah. He got out. Now he's just staring at me like an asshole. We're good. Carry on.